Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Please, composed with love by my nephew Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole, who called from a different phone tonight. And
hello,
explain the little mishap and miracle of today with your phone.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, Cindy, can you hear me?
I can hear you very well.
Okay, good. Okay, just wanted to make sure because this phone is a little bit temperamental that I'm on today. But, yeah, so I have a very busy night ahead of me. I had a very busy day. And I ran out of the train today, and my phone was in my backpack, and it had fallen out. And because even though Lisa tells me all the time to do the look back, I did not do the look back. I was doing the look forward. Okay, and I did the look forward, and I missed my phone falling out of the bag, and I lost it. So luckily, literally within, I'm going to say, 30 minutes, I knew the whereabouts of the phone. I used somebody else's phone to call Lisa, and apparently the conductor had already called Lisa as my emergency contact and said that they found the phone. So that was very, very nice. We have to wake up nice and early and go out to Hoboken tomorrow to retrieve it, but at least it's found.
Wow. Well, those are the little sometimes we hope if we make a mistake, there's a kind human being who kind of, you know, helps us out in that situation.
That
it kind of renews your faith in the world, but it's also God's little ways of telling us that we're rushing too much and that it's just a lost cell phone, but maybe we could, you know, run and fall and get hurt or, you know, close our finger in a car door, things that we do when we rush around too much. So I always use these as a little bit of wake-up call to me to slow down a bit. If you know what I'm talking about, Nicole?
Of course I do.
Okay, because
you always know what you're talking about. I always know what you're talking about, Cindy. Whether or not I actually listen to it in application is a completely different story.
I know. It's because, you know, I always know when I'm rushing around too much because I'll look down at my legs and I'll have like 8,000 bruises because obviously I'm running into everything as I'm running. So
yep.
Once in a while, slowing down is an important thing to do. And today
I've
got it.
So good.
Well, good. No, you know, it's just those are
so good.
Right, and those are little mishaps. You know, they're not the end of the world, you know, but it is those kinds of things that, you know, it's just, thank God for people that help us when we make a mistake. That's all I have to say.
Yep, yes. So thank you very much to Dan, okay? He was a very, very nice kid that was studying in the train station that allowed me to use his phone so that I can get a hold of Lisa. And thank you very much to the conductor, who actually, Lisa had called me and had picked up the phone, and then the conductor had called Lisa back and was like, yeah, I have your phone. So, you know, luckily, you know, thank you for the nice people out there that did that. So.
And that's what I'm saying. It renews our faith in the world, and, you know, those sometimes it just it turns out all okay, and we're like, oh, that's
well,
great.
What's funny about that with the whole renewal of faith is the fact that, you know, prior to me even knowing the whereabouts, immediately what I did was I realized that the next train that I needed to take was actually canceled, which I was like, oh, my God, I hope I can get to New York on time, you know. But in the same breath, I went over to the customer service, and I said, listen, I said I was on this train. I said, is there any way that we can get a hold of them at the next station? Because I think I left my property there, and I explained to the gentleman the story. And, you know, he's like, oh, you know, let's just contact this number. It's lost and found. Here's your claim number, blah, 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 blah. And what he had said was, I was just like, you know, he's like, you know, and if somebody turns it in, I was just like, yeah, if. And he goes, well, you know, people are people. So, you know, maybe you'll get lucky and you'll find a good one out there. But he's like, you know, you have all the numbers to call your provider and this and that. So he was already prepping me for canceling the phone in general. And then all of a sudden, you know, as soon as I left him, got my claim number and went downstairs to the platform, you know, like I said, that nice kid who was studying, you know, just kind of turned around. And I was like, can I borrow your phone? He's like, yeah, not a problem here. And he let me send text messages. He let me contact everybody I needed to contact. And then he just sat there reading. He was just, you know, whatever. And he's like, you sound like you're having a bad day. Here, just take it. You know, use it. It's okay. Just, you know, call whoever you got to call. You know, it was really, really sweet.
And that's, you know, funny when people don't make it for their psychic readings and they'll tell me later on, well, I couldn't make it. I lost my cell phone. I didn't call you. I'm like, you can ask a stranger. In this day and age,
yep.
You can ask a stranger. That everybody's got a phone within a hello away. So all you have to do is say, can I just borrow your phone? You know, can I just call?
Yep.
I'm always telling people there's no excuse. If you lose your cell phone, someone will give you one to use. So call the people you're supposed to call no matter what.
Yep, exactly.
Well, I got a wonderful email today from Janine. If you remember, just about a month ago, Janine had that boyfriend that she went out all the way to Montauk to Block Island to see, and he threw off her boat. Do you remember that?
He threw off the boat. Oh, my God, yes.
And remember, you gave her that good advice that, you know, we were talking about how, look, with toxic love, people can do a million things wrong, throw acid in each other's face, and nobody leaves. But in a higher love, when someone is a commitment phobe, you do anything, and they're ready to throw you overboard. And you gave her very good advice to stand firm. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember Janine very well.
Well, today Janine sent me an email saying they're engaged. So obviously she listened to you and said, look, you know, you got to just step back a little bit and let him come to you and know that you didn't do anything to deserve to be thrown off that boat. Because remember, she went all the way back, I mean, drove hours to see him, and then he still wasn't being nice to her.
Yep, so I remember. And I recall I said that, I believe what I said, you know, in a roundabout sort of way, you know, or pretty close to it at least, was that A, she didn't deserve it, and that B, that she needed to tell him that if she was serious about him, that she needed to tell him that if he's not going to treat her right, somebody else will, and she will have no problem trying to find that person.
And obviously, she'd stand...
And obviously it worked because he came around.
But I thought you would just love that your advice changed something for the better. And I love to hear that. And we always keep telling people, hey, look, if it's not working, he's got one foot in or you've got one foot in, one foot out, put 2 feet in or take 2 feet out. You'd be surprised taking 2 feet out. No texting, no talking, no booty calls. How much the person really comes around to miss you and realize that they don't want to lose you. Because, you know, as long as, you know, people will test us and push us to see how much we'll take. So,
absolutely.
We have to be a little bit, you know, loving ourselves like we would love our own daughters, treating ourselves better. But it was the good news of the day. So, you know, I love hearing that. And I thought I would share that with you because I know I wasn't as tough with her as you were. Remember, you said, now let me just say a few things.
Yeah, that was just one of those things where, like under normal circumstances, like, I like to let you do your thing, and if I have something to add, I like to just, like, add it, you know, without being, I guess too abrasive is the right word, because, you know, you're very, very tactful with what you say, and you're a good deliverer of hard messages, whereas I'm kind of, you know, a little bit more abrasive there, where I'm just kind of like, you know what, I'm going to be brutally honest, and that's just going to be that, and you're going to take it. You know, that's a tough nut to swallow, but you're going to swallow, you know. But, you know, so, like, that day was just one of those days where I was just like, I can't take this anymore.
And that's what exactly what she...
I can't even take it.
And because she was beating herself over the head that she did all these terrible things and this and that. And I said, manipulators do that to us. All of a sudden, we're like axe murderers because we said a wrong word. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
And you really called her on that and pointed out that she didn't do anything to deserve being thrown off his toy. And remember, you know, if somebody's, you know, in control of everything, they're going to throw us off their toy when we do something they don't like.
The punishment and the crime have got to add up.
But,
you know, the punishment and the crime have got to add up. You can't react the same way if somebody spills grape juice on your white rug as you would if somebody ran your grandmother over.
Right.
You know,
come
it can't be the same reaction. You know, there's got to be some sort of a reasonable boundary where you know, actions that, you know, where the causes and effects, you know, are somewhat symbiotic with each other. It can't be the same, you know, effect for every cause.
Exactly. And that's why I was glad to hear that she had listened to you.
Great.
Janine,
if you're listening out there, I am so proud of you.
Yeah, no, me too. I was thrilled to death. Anyway, I could see we have a lot of callers. I think we have a 919, which is that North Carolina, maybe?
I don't even know, but you know, like usual, I never ever screen the first call, so we're going to just jump right into this one.
Okay.
Okay, hey. We're talking to a 919 area code. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hi, and who is this?
My name's Rebecca, and you are right. It's NC.
Okay, good. We love our North Carolina listeners. So you've been waiting a long time, Rebecca, so I'm sure you've had something on your mind that you need guidance for. So if you want to tell us your story, we'll try to help
okay.
you.
Okay. Well, I've had a great day, you know, or a great week. My daughter just started at UNC, and she just made the NHL cheerleading team for the Carolina Canes. And
wow.
So I have a lot of
great news. Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. And then on top of this, you know, someone always has to come and poop on your parade.
Oh,
but,
course.
I was in a long-term relationship, you know, for close to a decade. And right before, he sent me a text where he was kind of like mad at me and calling me a liar about something. And I tried to call, and I was like, what are you talking about? And he was just so hostile. And it wasn't. Like, we had been before kind of talking and having good conversation and, you know, a while back, and I just don't know where it came from. And then I texted him, you know, some of this good news that has been happening, and, like, he won't even respond to it. And it's like, come on, at least, you know, acknowledge, you know, that,
something,
you know,
good
stuff my daughter is doing. Yeah.
Well, the news here is that, you know, relationships tend to work in 5-year cycles. You said a decade. That's 2 5-year cycles. Were you long distance, or were you actually seeing each other on a regular basis?
No, the same. Same city. We didn't live together, but I mean, half the time we did.
And what's going on here is, like, you know, on the card, I got the Devil card, which is a relationship that's gone toxic, you know, that suddenly went from, you know, it looks like in the beginning you were soulmates. There was that heart, soul, mind, body commitment and love. But the man isn't being truthful with you about certain things. First of all, this is going to be a very good year for you, starting now till the end of next August. So you've got a good year opening up. You got to get the blinders off. The man's looking to fight with you. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, but I don't know why.
Okay. Now, when people start fights for no reason with people, they're usually up to no good. They're usually turning around and twisting and turning on us that we've done something wrong when they could be up to no good. Do you trust
this? The thing is, like, we're not together right now. And by the way, this all started when a bunch of his friends saw me out. So I think they called and said, oh, you know, she's looking good. You know, I think said stuff like that. And it made him mad because ever since that point, he's been nasty to me.
Right. And you guys actually broke up? Is that what's going on
Yeah,
here?
We broke up in he broke up with me in March, and he's actually in a different relationship, but
That's
I don't know.
That's what I was going to say. There's another relationship here. That's what I'm glad
you
know about that.
Yeah, like these guys saying that it irritated him, like, because he, you know,
and it's
I don't
also,
know.
And
like,
no, it's more because the woman, he's in a relationship that certainly wasn't soulmate, didn't start out as soulmate. On the ladder of love, there's a very narcissistic rung where any woman's interchangeable in another. That's pretty much what she is. But she's a very jealous woman. And if he has any contact with you, she gets mad.
How would she know, though?
Because she's spies. She's not you. She's spies. She checks cell phones. She wants to know what he's up to. She knows about you, and you know, she knows that what you had with him was a different animal than what she has with him. And right now he's just trying to get you so you don't contact him because, you know, he can't be alone, this man. Obviously, you've been with him for 10 years. You break up and all of a sudden he's with somebody else. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
This is a man who cannot be alone. And people who can't be alone always take love from something good to something bad. It's just the nature of the way that love works. It's really because he's with her. She doesn't want him to speak to you or have any contact with you, so he's just blowing you off about that. It's a
blessing.
Well,
that doesn't work for him, by the way. That would irritate him.
Well, no, because with you, he was the master. He was pulling all the shots. This time around, she's the boss. She's the master. And
what?
It's funny because this woman's calling all the shots this time, only because he's afraid to be alone. Who broke up with who, by the way?
He broke up with me.
Because she was already in the wings then. You know, you're an older soul. We want to, like, believe people aren't up to no good. He would have never broken up with you unless there was somebody else. So you knew that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, I've known him for 17 years. I know.
Okay. And the whole point is consider her your best friend because you would have, you know, stayed with him no matter what, and it was getting pretty crappy. She's, you know, exactly what he deserves. She's the princess that's going to become the beast. And, you know, right now he's thinking this is a new relationship and he can't be alone and he's trying to keep this one going. But it has to do with her and his inability to be alone. But for you, there's a really nice man coming and new falling in love, really peaceful year. It's time, you know, this guy's immature. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
And, you know, and in some way she's mommy to a boy with him. And it's really not a good relationship, so don't feel threatened by it. But she is threatened by you. I mean, you have history. You're with him for 10 years. She waltzes in, and of course she's threatened by you. And that's why she doesn't want him to have any contact with you. So, you know.
I just can't imagine him, though, being with someone who is letting someone else take control of the situation. That's kind of shocking.
Well, that's what happens. It's not unusual from relationships to switch from one where he called all the shots and now, you know, where she's calling the shots. It's only because
he's going to realize he had it good then.
That's what I'm saying. So he's, you know, she's given to him what he gave to you, put it that way. And he really can't be alone. And he has anger issues. I don't know if you know about that.
Yeah.
And with her, he has somebody to really vent anger with. So, you know, consider yourself lucky to be removed from him. Some of his friends are talking and whatever, but it's more her who's got the hold over him. You know, don't be surprised if, you know, when this blows up in his face, you know, he lands on your doorstep and acts like nothing happened.
Oh, yeah, I know that's going to happen.
Right. And
I actually thought it was happening soon, so I was kind of surprised by his reaction because I was like, you don't need to be treating me like that right now.
Well, it looks like this is true toxic love. And toxic love can either blow up in record time, you know, 3 to 6 months, or it can go on for 50 years, depending upon, you know, the nature of it. And he just can't be alone. That's what it's about. He cannot be alone. And, you know, now with your daughter at school and you having a little freedom and a little time, you know, love yourself the way you would love your daughter. If a man pulled this crap on your daughter, broke up with her, had somebody else in the wings, and, you know, acting like you did something wrong, that's pretty manipulative, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he wants to make it like it's your fault that you're not together,
yeah.
So that, and that's with her. So if he comes back in your life, then you're going to be so happy he's back because you were the bad one, you were the wrong one. So this man is a manipulator, whether you know it or not.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
you see, when is the new guy coming in?
It looks like in a few months. You need a little time to stand on your own 2 feet without a man. Are you doing that right now?
Oh, I've been without one for a long time.
Okay, good. And then really letting him go at this point. I mean, he's the devil, you know. People usually, you know, like to stay with the devil they know. But this woman was brought in to get you to help, you know, break away from him. Your love with him was getting pretty toxic as well. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
And, you know, toxic love becomes an addiction. We get addicted to the person, and weaning off is something that you have to be doing. He's not going to respond the way you want to respond. I mean, he's the kind of person you got to hate somebody to leave them. So he's at that let me hate you stage, and you hate me. So he's immature, and, you know, for you, just be grateful that he's closed the door, and it gives you an opportunity to move on. His true colors are coming out with her.
No, I mean, we would be really great friends, you know, and I would...
He's not really a great friend, because great friends don't manipulate. And don't... He would have been truthful and said, I found somebody else, and that's why I'm leaving, not turn around and accuse you of lying, when he's the one who's, in fact, lied and manipulated. Friends don't do that. So,
you
know, a lot of
me and Adam going anywhere?
Adam?
Yeah.
That's a new man?
Yeah.
Okay. And how long have you known Adam?
Since June.
Okay. I mean, Adam looks like an okay man, and he's definitely interested in you. He has a few commitment issues as well. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, getting involved with commitment phobics is a recipe for disaster. Did you tell him you were looking for a relationship? Does he know that?
Yes.
Okay, and what does he say?
He's not in a position right now to... He has a lot of other stuff going on right now.
Okay, so, I mean, it can't go very far right now, this one. It doesn't look like it's Adam, because this is a man you haven't met yet. So, you know, just allow yourself to keep your eyes open, pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing, and pray to be one who can love and commit back and commit to healing. If it's Adam, so be it. If it's the other guy, so be it. If it's a new one, that's even better, because that's what I'm seeing in the cards. You just need a little bit of courage right now. And, you know, examine if your daughter was telling you about this, you know, about your ex. Would you want her to be friends with him? Did he treat her with respect? Was he honest and open with her? Did he care about her feelings? Because this man, you know, is pretty insensitive. He's like, what have you done for me lately? And
yeah.
Right now he doesn't need you. So friends don't do that. That's not friends, and you're an old soul. Old souls were just really nice, and I'm getting a little tired of hearing nice women and nice men saying, but he's a nice person, she's a nice person. No, they're not. He's not a nice person. Nice people don't do that. Nice people, if you have to break up with someone because it's just no longer working, nice people, it hurts them to break up with people. They're kind.
Yeah.
They would rather have the person break up with them. They try to say it as kindly and nicely as they can. They don't look to nitpick and blame it on the other person. So it's one of those
things.
I'm
just weird. I'm surprised that she would even know that we would talk, though. I mean, his phone.
Because she spies on him. You know, some people are very good with spying on cell phones and everything else. So she's
just.
But our
phones are blocked because of our business. Like, you have codes on our phone.
Right, and I'm sure that may seem fine to you, but she seems to have a radar for when he speaks or anything else. You know,
yeah.
She's read the riot act to him. He's afraid. So, you know, these are your best friends. You have to understand that, because she's a pit bull guarding over him. Otherwise, he'd be having one foot with her, one foot with you. He'd be booty calling you and being with her. So
yeah.
This is... Sometimes God gives a rabid pit bull person to someone who just makes them have to stay in line and keep their, you know, their 2 feet wherever that person wants them. She has them on a very tight leash. He was cheating on you with her. You think she doesn't know who he is, that he's a cheater? So
I mean, I know he was trying to get with her for a long time.
Right, and that's something for you to keep in mind, that she knows what he's made out of.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
You know, well, good luck to you, and thanks for sharing your story, and good luck to your daughter. We're so I'm so happy.
Thank
that
you.
She's
I'm so proud of her. She's just rocking.
Well, that's why I said we get some good news, we get some bad news. That's life, you know. Otherwise, we don't want all bad news in one day.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
you also think of it this way a little bit, that you got some great news today, and maybe this was the universe's way of saying that there are good things coming. And now, look, these good things came about when he was not around you. He was not a part of your life. Maybe this is the universe's way of saying, you know what, that if you want good things, you have to remove what's toxic from the equation, you know. And I've used this example before on the show where if somebody's telling you to look out at a horizon, but somebody is standing in front of you, blocking your view, don't just sit there and look at the back of their head. Remove them from in front of you, and then you can see what lays after that. You know, so maybe this was just kind of like a wake-up call of, you know what, that you didn't do anything wrong, and now here this toxic person, this obviously commitment-phobic sick person, you know, who's very, very dishonest, is out of your life, and look at all the great things that came to you.
Yeah.
Right. And just again, I don't want to hear anybody say, well, this is my friend, this is a nice person. They're not. They're not.
You might be a good friend to him, but he is not a good friend to you.
Exactly. And that's, you know, you're the good friend. And
yeah.
That, you want to make sure you're with a person who's honest and tells the truth. We can, you know, everybody doesn't mind being told the truth. Say it with a sense of humor or with love and kindness. It's just when you lie and you're pushing everything and blaming on the other person. That's what he's doing. Like, he didn't do anything wrong. You were all wrong. You know, instead of he was a cheater trying to get after this woman while he was still with you. I mean,
yeah.
And then accusing you of lying. That's the ironic
yeah.
part of it all.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to you, and we're going to try to take another caller.
Thank you so much for your
You're
time.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so let's see. Nicole, you
all
went
right.
over to Texas?
I did go over to Texas. And right now we are going to speak to Jessica. And basically she just wants to know if you have any kind of relationship guidance or messages for her. She's very, very similar to Janine, Cindy. I
wow.
love the symbiosis when we tell, you know, great stories and then, you know, the calls just seem to follow suit. Recently she was in a position where kind of like Janine, you know, she had to make the decision whether or not she was going to stick 2 feet in or remove, you know, herself from you know, what could have was potentially a bad situation and take 2 feet out of it and take the risk. And recently Jessica has done that. It's only been a couple of days. But she does want to know, Cindy, you know, if she can maybe get, like, a little bit of a hint as to what's going to happen. You know, is she going to be getting back together with this person or is taking that 2 feet out the start of something completely new for her? So let's go over to Jessica in Texas. Hello,
Cindy.
Jessica, you're on the air.
Hi, Jessica. Well, you took the 2 feet out. Is that what you're into right now?
Yes, I. You know, we've always been very good friends, and it, obviously we had a relationship, but his commitment didn't seem to be going anywhere. And he told me, you know, I don't know that I see myself marrying you. And so I said, you know what, I can't even be your friend. You know, I'd be lying if I said that I was just going to be friends with you because I care about you more than that. So I don't, you know, I want us to not be friends for now because I can't do that. And so he's actually a very kind person, and he starts crying because he wants to stay friends with me. But the problem is that if we try to be friends, he doesn't act like a friend. He wants to be attentive and be boyfriend-like and help me fix problems and call me pet names. And so
well,
I
he's
finally,
giving you the mixed messages. And
right.
there's two different ladders of love. There's a ladder of romantic love, which goes from soulmate at the top, heart, soul, mind, body love, committed love, and committed to healing. On the bottom of that is toxic love, two angry people raging behind closed doors. Midline is kind of mediocre, where we take each other for granted, and love goes up and down that romantic ladder, unfortunately, quite often. Then there's mm-hmm. a soulmate or a friend ladder. You can't jump from soulmate lover to friend ladder if you still want to sleep with the person. It doesn't work. And
right.
what he wants to do is have the friends with benefits, the hookups, the fuck buddy, whatever. But he doesn't want to be the relationship.
Right.
I mean, you're laughing, but it's
I'm
true.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at Jessica by any means right now. I'm only laughing because I find it so funny whenever you say the word fuck. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, because that's, you know, the generation, it's like they can't call it relationship. They can give it hookup, like it's like a computer, or the worst type, but they can't say the relationship word. And what he's doing is what commitment phobics do. They give us mixed messages. The relationship of the true love is that you're close from the beginning, soulmate, because there's this instant recognition factor. You're close, and you just keep getting closer over time. What commitment phobics do is momentarily the love overcomes the fear. So maybe the first 3 to 6 months they bring us close, and then they start pushing us away. And the relationship doesn't go forward. It doesn't necessarily go backwards. It goes sideways. It goes nowhere. And, you know, he gives you the mixed messages. He wants to keep you in his life. He wants to keep it where he knows what you're doing. If he wants to be your friend, well, that's going to interfere with any other love affair you have. I mean, so many women are given another soulmate, but they still have one foot with this guy who wants to be something but not their total lover. And then he starts texting and talking to her while she's with this new soulmate. And a lot of the men or the women are getting mad and walking away. They're saying, look, you're still connected to him. I'm not doing this. How old are you, by the way?
32.
Okay, because you're my daughter's age. That's what I thought. That's a generation that, you know, they've always got one foot texting somebody from the past, one foot with somebody new, and one foot Facebook and somebody else for the future. But, you know, it's the triangles. It's ridiculous. And you are at the stage where now, do you want to get married and have babies someday?
Yes, I definitely want to get married and stay committed to someone.
Right, and, you know, you're 32 years old now. I don't think you realize how fast it went from 22 to 32.
No,
you know, between 32 and 42 goes just as fast. I don't want you calling us 10 years from now, and I'm sure Nicole and I will be doing this forever, and you're saying, well, now I want babies and I want a committed relationship. Excuse me, you're 42. You know, it's realizing that what you want and saying what you want, and, you know, I have a little expression I tell people, look, I don't want drama and I don't want disease. So if you want to be with me, be only with me. And you say that from the start. You let the commitment phobics run from day one.
Right.
Because it's better they run day one than, you know, day 500, day, you know, 500 years from now. He also wants to keep tabs on you, know what you're doing, and, you know, keep his eyes on you. And
well, I don't think he's a commitment phobe. I have kids from a previous relationship. I think he's fearful of being a stepfather.
Well, he's fearful of the baggage, but you know, you had those from the beginning. That's why it's not
exactly.
Like you hid the kids in the back seat of the car with a blanket underneath them, and you know, like, hey, shut up, kids, shut up, and 5 years later, you take them out of the closet. You know, you knew about it.
True.
Okay, so it's, you know, and you're a person who I know you have some baggage. You got your kids, but it looks like you claim and carry them. I'm not thinking you're a person that's, you know, going to dump these all in his lap. But commitment phobics play the game of blemish. They know all this going in, and then they find some reason why they can't commit to us.
Yeah.
Oh, now it's the kids. Excuse me, the kids were here in the beginning.
True.
And so it's not, that's the difference. The difference is commitment phobics will always find some reason to run. And you know what? If he can't be a stepfather, perhaps he's judged his own father harshly. If we've judged our own parents harshly, we can say, I'd always be a great father. I'd never yell. I'm going to be super-duper parent. Well, then don't have any kids because, really, God will give you a kid that you'll be screaming at. And he's a person who is using that as an excuse. And you know, you can say, I understand, this is my baggage to carry, my cross, and if you don't want to carry it, I get it. But I don't want you to be my friend. You know, if you can't be my lover and commitment to me, you can't be my friend. I need to show my children that if love starts out good and it stinks, that you get something better. I need to show them soulmate love. I need them to see that. And I want them to have a good father figure. And, you know, that's the whole point. You don't want your children to be afraid of love. And all the kids are seeing now is that love starts out good and it sucks. They just keep duplicating that. So for you, there's, you know, closing this chapter. It doesn't mean it's over when you take 2 feet out. It's like with Janine. We told her, look, he's commitment phobic. Now he was going to marry you. Now he's not going to marry you because you did one thing wrong. He's playing the game of blemish. You said you're sorry for whatever little infraction you did. Now take 2 feet out. No texting, no talking, no booty calls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a month later, he put that ring on her finger because she had the courage to take 2 feet out. Commitment phobics have to fear losing us more than loving us. Now picture, why would you find a diamond that's so big? Love is a big diamond. And you hold it close to you for a few months, then you put it on the street like somebody else isn't going to pick it up and find it. And then they could say, well, she didn't love me all that much. Somebody else came along. So, you know, you want somebody to love you. And, you know, love is a gift. Don't you want a man who, like, you say you're going to go on a first date and, you know, he's got to pick you up at 7 and he's out there. It's like 6:30 down the block because he can't wait to see you.
Yeah.
Not that, well, then he calls you and says, oh, I can't make it today. Maybe next week.
Yeah, no,
so,
that one's not any good.
No, and that's why for you, believe in the fact that he loves you. He is afraid. He's afraid of growing up. How old is he?
She's 32 also.
Okay, because I call my daughter 32 going on 19. I'm glad she's finally 19. It's a little bit of an immature generation. You're not typical, but people don't want to grow up. They're 32 years old, and I'm afraid, I don't want to be a parent. I was too much. Most of our parents were 20, 21 when they had kids. I mean, you're 32 years old. At what point are you ready to be a father? So it's realizing that perhaps he doesn't want to grow up. You know, his fear might be, can I afford this? Can I afford these kids? Can I take care of them? And, you know, for you, it's, you know, understanding, you know, these are your kids, and if they're too much for him, that's fine. But having the courage to tell him that you want a committed relationship. And, you know, he may very well come back to you. I mean, he might spend 2 months, you know, hanging around with girls who don't have any babies and that, you know, are 25 years old or 22 years old and realizing, ugh, this is boring. I miss her. A soulmate's not interchangeable with anybody else on earth unless it becomes something not soulmate anymore. It becomes toxic or mediocre, you know, and you'll be granted another soulmate. He won't at this point, not anytime soon. You know, soulmate behavior is telling the truth, saying, I love you, but I'm scared and I can't do this. It's me, not you, and letting us go. You know, he's not rejecting you. He's rejecting a higher love that you're offering him. And, you know, your children really deserve to have a man who wants to be in their life, don't you think?
No, I totally agree.
And kids are easy to love. You open your heart, you love them. Everybody makes everything so complicated nowadays, you know. Simpler times in the past, people loved somebody, they married. I mean, they didn't always work out, but they at least tried to commit in the beginning and gave it a try. Your generation is like running like so fast from love, it's not funny.
I know, nobody wants to stick it out or try or, I don't know.
Or grow up and heal. And, you know, he may have judged his own parents harshly, and I'm always telling people now, until you have another mouth to feed beside your own, stop judging your parents, because when we have other people to feed besides ourselves, some of our decisions are not all based on what's best for me.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times people who don't have children and they get older, they're very narcissistic. You don't have to grow up. You have a kid, you got to grow up. I mean, hopefully, not all parents do, but hopefully you grow up. And, you know, he's just a little afraid of that. You know, take the 2 feet out for a while and see what happens, but you're going to have to be strong.
Yeah, well, I work with him, too, to make it more complicated. So
well, that's
hard.
Because God sometimes does that, because the commitment phobics, what they usually are, they're like the drunk driver out on the LIE expressway, and they jam on their brakes and drive off, and 50 people die behind them, and they never see the mess. God's making him see the mess.
God's got a sense of humor, because not only did I work with him, recently my boss moved him into my office. So it wasn't enough that he was in my sales team. Now he's in my office.
Well, that's because God's making that commitment phobic look at you. There will also be a point when God will change that and move it out of the way. But most of the time, commitment phobics run. They pull a geographic. They run to another state. They join the army. They do something really stupid. Or they disappear. You know, he's really been kept on the hot spot for a while. So,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that God is doing that, because most commitment phobics really do run. And if you just say, look, we have to work together and we can be civil at work, but we're not friends. We're coworkers. And keep it that way. Nothing personal, no personal conversation. And see if he misses you. And it'll drive him nuts. It will drive him nuts. The thing about commitment phobics is they lure us in. It's like a yo-yo. They bring us close, and then they throw us back away. And then when they see us getting aggravated, they pull us back in and wine and dine us in record time, and they throw us back out. They always want to know that they still have us. You've got to get to the where you have enough courage. No, you don't have me. And make him not sure that, you know, let him think he's losing you.
And I think you're completely correct.
And then you'd be surprised. You know, this worked. One of my clients called freaking a few months ago. I didn't know her. She wasn't a client yet. She had Googled my name and saw that I was, like, this relationship person and obviously was guided to me. And she's freaking out that, you know, the man that she's been with for a decade, and, you know, he left her. He's with another woman. And she's calling him. She's frantic. And I said, girlfriend, if you, this man did this to your daughter, how mad would you be? I mean, you know, he could bring her, you know, your daughter venereal disease. We don't know who he's screwing around with. This
what
is not
doing?
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Take your 2 feet out. Don't talk him. Don't text him. Nothing. 2 weeks later, he was back. Because, you know, as long as he thought she was still chasing him, he could have his cake and eat it too. He was going to have his cake and eat it too. When a man realizes...
he made the decision for him.
Right. And that's why... For you, you make the decision. That's right. And what you can do is, to be karmically correct, is what I would want is for you to be my lover, or that you tell him you love him, or that this is what you would want, him to be your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have to let you go. You're telling him what you want. It's your choice. You can have it all or you can have nothing. And leave it in his hands to make the choice. You didn't make the choice. You gave him a choice. And he'll have to live with the decision. But you have to be honest with him, too. You can't expect people to, you know, read between the lines. We're always, if we love someone, the universe would say, you're under obligation to say that.
Okay.
And, you know, this way, even if he were to come back a year later from now, that words that you had said might be the words that bring him back.
Okay, I'll do that.
Well, good luck, and let us know what happens.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, I see we're going over to Detroit, huh?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Want to tell us about Detroit?
Yes, we will. We, are now going to go over to, as you just said, Detroit. We're going to speak to Jennifer there. And she actually spoke to you. This is a kicker for me, Cindy, because Jennifer spoke to you about 4 months ago. And you gave her some advice, and, you know, she was just getting out of a relationship. And she was telling you, you know what, I don't think that I want a relationship. I think I just want to go out and party, and I want one night stands. And you very, very gently just kind of said, no, I don't really think that you want that. I think that you want to be doing this. And she's like, no, I want to go out and have one night stands. And you're going... No, that's not what I see here. Well, Jennifer actually listened to you, Cindy, and she did not go out and party like crazy. She did not go out and have a whole bunch of one-night stands. She was actually very, very level-headed in the last 4 months. And now she's at this crossroads, and she wants to know, is now the time that she should be starting to look for that love that you spoke about, or does she really need to take a little bit more time just concentrating on herself? So maybe you'll have some good news for Jennifer over there. And hello, Jennifer, you're on the air.
Hello, thank you for that introduction.
Hi, Jennifer. I just loving it, too. Do you know why I love that woman? I could never say it that good. I'm like, I'd hire that girl. Cool.
She's awesome.
I'm going, this is my radio show? Hey, this is a good show. I'd listen. And you know what? It's normal to do that. Like, I just want to party and be a party girl. But sometimes we have to know who we are. You know, some people are Sex and the City girls. Mostly I'm saying they're women, they're men who are in women's bodies this lifetime. Because true women can't, you know, just really be the Sex and the City party and let's have one night stands. It's really something that doesn't usually suit well with them.
Mm-hmm.
Standing on your own 2 feet without a man has been immensely, immensely important for you. What I'm seeing here is a new beginning of self-love and peaceful thoughts inside, and I think that Jennifer is starting to like Jennifer. And
yeah.
Isn't that a wonderful thing? And what you have been is your lover to yourself. That's what we need to do first. We need to love ourselves. And there is a relationship on the horizon. You still have a little more healing to do from your past relationship. Are you aware of that?
No, I didn't think so, because I was wondering, like, really, because when you first told me that, I went, oh, when is this vow of celibacy going to be over? So I just thought if I ended the relationship, then the vow of celibacy would be over.
And what it is that sometimes we're not mad at the person. We're mad at ourselves because we tolerated too much.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to come to that place where we're not going to make excuses for abuse. We're going to, you know, really stand firm in our convictions. And I got the soulmate card here, so it's coming. And it takes a little time for God to bring soulmates together. Now, sometimes I have to tell people, you're all blaming God, that now I want a soulmate. Where is he? Well, if you stayed in a toxic love affair for 20 years, and maybe God was going to bring you a soulmate, every 5 years a soulmate can be brought to us. So God had three in that 20-year period, but you stayed stuck too long. Now you want God to, you know, okay, now bring me one. Well, it has to be brought into alignment with you. It comes from God, and it's not that
thing. You don't always get it your way.
Right. You got to, like, kind of cooperate here with God. But you have a soulmate coming. You have a wonderful five-year period opening up. Love and, you know, very, very good. Do you still talk to that other man, or you've totally cut him?
Absolutely. Like we still get along very, very well. There was someone else I was interested in, and I'm a bit of a psychic medium myself. And sometimes his mom would come through, and I would ask about him and I, and the mom would say, you know, you can do better.
Now, we have to listen to the mothers, because, you know, the first dead person I talked to was a mother of a man I love very much, who was a commitment phobic.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he would come back and forth, one day she said, well, you could have him, but I didn't bring him to abuse you. And I'm asking you to let him go.
Yes.
And
yes.
So they bring, you know, parents do bring us into alignment with their child. As a soulmate, we are definitely soulmates. But women, as a sisterhood, have to stick together. And the dead up there, the women are saying, oh, no, we didn't bring this for this. I'm sorry, no. And so the fact that she would tell you that's important. And we have to listen to them, because they want to help us. And for you, you know, you're a kind person, and you're one of those people that's like, you want to fix people.
Yeah.
Did you learn you can't fix people?
You know what? Absolutely. And when I talked to God, I said, God, I said, I want what's in my highest and my best. Can you help me with this? Then very next day, any sort of emotional attachment I had towards this person was absolutely gone.
Wow.
So all you have to do is ask for help.
Right, and that's what happens, because we are brought soulmates. We have more than one. We have about 30. Mm-hmm. But they don't. Only 1% of Americans are maintaining soulmate love. Once it's no longer soulmate love, and soulmate's committed to healing, we're asked to move on. We're asked not to enable people. Soulmate love is meant to heal, and if people don't heal, we're asked to step out of the way and let God give them another healing lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you stepped out, and that's very important. There is another soulmate coming, by the way. And it's you keeping your eyes open. You are a very old soul. You are definitely very psychic. And older souls tend to be brought soulmates more quickly than other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I get, maybe we've lived longer. I don't know. You know, maybe we just have more of them. But the point is that you have this soulmate coming. You're getting a lot of divine guidance. You know, believing in yourself is important. And the man who's coming is not a boy. You tend to be like mommy to boys. This is a grown man who makes good money, who can take care of himself, who could stand on his own 2 feet without you, as you're learning to stand on your own 2 feet without a man. And that's
mm-hmm.
a very important lesson for women, because over our lifetimes, we've been brainwashed to think any man, deaf, dumb, blind, lame, stupid, cheating, son of a bitch, better than standing on our own 2 feet. So
mm-hmm.
standing on your own 2 feet is an important lesson. Letting go of the other guy might be part of what you have to do. You're not willing to let go of him?
No, I thought that I, like, when I had that talk with God, I felt, like, my soul felt that I did release it.
But do you still talk with him?
Yeah.
That's not letting go. Letting go is, like, we're not talking about a soul plane, letting go of somebody on a soul plane. We're talking about really letting go, disconnecting. With relationships, we tend to have energetic cords
mm-hmm.
stuck with them. And we need to just pull them out. And, you know, part of the lesson is you're still kind of leaning on that man, whether you know it or not.
Well, it's funny, because when I used to be in his physical presence,
mm-hmm.
my body, like, I could feel the kinetic energy between us.
No doubt.
Yeah. And then the last time I saw him after I had my talk with God, I didn't feel it at all.
Okay, then why are you still keeping him in your life?
I don't know.
Is any man deaf, dumb, blind, lame, stupid, cheating better than standing on our 2 feet?
But it's not like I'm overextending myself. It's like I'm,
but
you
again,
know,
it's a psychological breaking away and
yeah.
truly standing on our own 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no prince that's going to sweep us off our feet. There's no, if we're waiting for a prince to rescue us, it ain't happening. He'll have clay feet. He won't be able to, he'll be there for about a minute. He'll like quicksand and disappear. For you, it's really breaking it away. Really, and, you know, it is sort of an addiction, toxic love, and it's just that it keeps the universe saying, okay, you're happy with this, and this is what you're getting. And God is waiting for you to make the physical break from him. And that might be hard for you, but it's one of those things. What are you actually getting out of this at this point?
Right now, nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
And no, it was stoking my ego, because he was coming to me for a lot of advice, and I went, oh, he needs to be fixed. I can help him.
Well, that's why God
my
thinks
ego.
You. Give a,
yeah,
nobody.
Exactly.
It's an insult to God to think we could fix people. God has no clue how to fix people. He's up there giving them one wake-up call after another, shooting craps and saying, let's hope this one helps. I don't know what to do. I'll say to God, yeah, what wake-up call? God says, how about you? You come up with a better wake-up call than I got here? I said, okay, let's do this. Let's do that. God says, we'll try it. Who knows? And then I'm giving, you know, narcissistic, judgmental people, chance of them ever changing this lifetime, 10%. So God says, your guess is as good as mine. Shoot the craps and let's see what happens.
Can
so,
I be specific? Was
yes.
my ex that I left, was he a narcissist?
Be specific with what?
My ex that I left, was he a narcissist?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Narcissism has nothing to do with vanity.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with manipulation. Narcissism is manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling us things that are not true, but they believe to be true. It's all about them. What have you done for me lately? There's all kinds of narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's all degrees of narcissism, but that man was highly narcissistic. And narcissistic people are simply not fixable. They believe their bullshit. They believe it happened the way they said it happened.
Mm-hmm. Borderline sociopathic.
Right. Yes. Absolutely. High levels of narcissism border on sociopath.
And you know what? I agree. And like when someone says, well, what are you looking for in your next guy? I say someone who notices that an old lady's having a problem carrying her groceries to her place and stops to help that woman.
Right. Looks and sees somebody else. It's amazing how
yeah.
so few people ever, ever see that someone else needs help. So mm-hmm. rarely ever sees, you know, says, oh, how can I help you? It's always about what can you do for me lately.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even with my job now, the fact that I'm pretty booked up and people have to wait like a month for a reading,
mm-hmm.
will get rid of a lot of the narcissists. Say, no, I need you to read me right now. Well, it ain't happening. And, you know, you've been in a crappy marriage 20 years. This is not a five-alarm fire. You can wait a month.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You've been in a crappy marriage for 20 years. 20 days won't make that much of a difference.
Exactly. And that's why it does. And the people who I love are the ones who say, oh, I know you're so busy and you need to rest. Ah, thank you. That
mm-hmm.
person right there realizes they can wait, that other people have needs too, to rest, to have their life. And what we want to just do is see people who actually look and see that someone may need help, and it's not always about them. I mean, everybody's, you know, allowed to have their narcissistic moments. It's life. We're human.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But it's the fact that these people can never see anybody else's needs. And, you know, it's one of those things, you know, that you're drowning and they're not seeing it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was with my ex-husband, who was a very narcissistic man. I was like, hey, you know, I was drowning. Where were you? You know, and most of us are very hardworking people. And, you know, all we're asking is that one day I'm sick, I have 1,000 narcissists. Empty the garbage. One day, that's all you had to do for me in 1,000 days. And I would have been so happy. And they can't do that one thing. And that's why avoiding the narcissist is probably the best thing that we can do. And
I don't know, but they don't walk around with a tattoo that says narcissist across their head.
Well, and some are pretty good. It's hard to pick up on, too. So,
yeah.
But the point is if the red flag starts saying narcissist, we run in the other direction. And, you know, for all of us, there's a lot of narcissists. It's not like, you know, 7 out of 10 people manipulate a lot. So don't be surprised you run into them.
Mm-hmm.
But what I try to do is I try to run from them now. I have no patience for it anymore. My whole life I was raised by two narcissistic people. I've been surrounded by narcissists my whole life. And you didn't know what it was till you were 58 years old? What the hell's the matter with you?
Well, you know
you
what?
See?
You could also, you know, do a little bit of, like, testing, too, where that's concerned as well. Because, like, I know that what I'll do when I'm trying to gauge somebody, and obviously you can't do it out of the gate, but, you know, if you're becoming friendly with somebody, notice when you tell stories, and they could be just that. They can be stories, but find some story and make it about yourself, about something, you know, nice that you did, some sort of charity that you offered, some sort of help that you gave, you know, without any kind of prompting. And see what they say. If they say, wow, you know what, you're really an amazing person for doing that, or wow, you know, that that's really, really great that you gave of yourself. If they say those words to you, then you're pretty much, you know, you're on the right path. But if you tell a story about something great that you did or something like that, and like I said, it doesn't even have to be true, and they mm-hmm. start going into how that one time they did this, and they make it about them, oh, yeah, you did that, well, and they try to one-up you on that good deed, then you know you're dealing with a narcissist.
The one-upper, yeah.
And really with narcissists.
That's the best way that I know how to tell you how to do that, because there's this, you know, this guy that was lingering around me for a while, and we were just friends, but I really, really had to back off a lot from that friendship because I just got tired of, you know, like holding of the carrot in front of me type of thing. And, you know, just always trying to one-up something. And you know what? I swear to you, I made up a story one day. I said, you know, just for argument's sake, that I was walking around and some lady fell and she hit her head. And, you know, I helped pick her up and I was tending to her wound. And what I got in return was, oh, yeah, well, you know what? I saw this woman break her arm, and I sat there, and I set it on the train station, and I wrapped it up with my own shirt, and, yeah, I know exactly how you feel. It's like, really? You know? So try to test people a little bit. It's okay to test the waters a little bit. You don't have to walk around, you know, with you know, like a clipboard and try to test people out. But you know what? You are more, if it's a little white lie like that, you're within your right to try to gauge the caliber of person that you're speaking with.
Exactly.
You know, you're not doing something to be malicious. You're literally putting it out there in the universe that, you know what, I need to make sure that this person is being honest. I need to test this person's caliber. I need to test this person's character. And whatever happens, happens out of whatever this is, you know. And let that be your guide. And let that at least be a little something that you can do to kind of ease your way into figuring out who's a narcissist and who's not.
And I'm going to give one little additional piece of information about narcissists. They always push our guilt buttons. The good people always are guilt-ridden. The narcissists have no guilt whatsoever. So when somebody starts pushing your guilt buttons, I can't believe you won't do this for me, you know you're dealing with narcissists. They always want to make us feel guilty. It's always our fault. Why won't you carry my cross for me just this one more time? So narcissists are ace manipulators, and they manipulate us by making us feel guilty and that we're bad people. So, you know, look at that. And they always try to get us to fix them and help them, too. So,
yeah.
You know, there's always the signs with narcissists. And, you know, we're not, you know, the world is full of them. You know, we're going to run into them all the time. But, you know, it's, you know, they're the people that yes us to death. They say, yeah, yeah, sure, I'm going to empty the garbage. Yeah, yeah, sure. You come back 2 weeks later, it's not open. Yeah, yeah, sure, I'm going to do it. Yeah, 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 yeah. They yes us to death, and they never do what they say they're going to do.
But you know what? Sometimes they don't do it out of resentment because they resent that you're a stronger person than they are.
Right, exactly. And they just figure you'll do it anyway.
Or that.
She'll do it anyway. You know, yeah, 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 sure. You know, that's what narcissists can't stand when you go, I'll go, yeah, 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 sure. Okay, yeah, I'm going to do it. Yeah, yeah, sure. They, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll give them the bat. Yeah, 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 sure. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Okay, I'm going to do it. Yeah.
Cindy, do you know what I just got reminded of? I just got reminded of my ex. Okay, because just when you said that you know, narcissists always want you to, you know, to kind of like help them and help me, you know, my ex used to do that all the time. She used to come up with these fun, great projects that I would wind up doing, and then at the end of the day when people said, oh, that's really nice, she goes, oh, yeah, I did that the other day.
Well, they rewrite history. It's a little bit of rewriting of history.
Because
you know,
that was me getting all dirty and disgusting while you were on the couch, but hey.
Well, anyway, our show is up. I hope everybody enjoys their week. And thank you for calling in, and we'll speak to you all next week. Thank you, Nicole.
Brendan.
Bye.
Thank you, Cindy. As always, you were wonderful. And goodbye, guys.
Bye.